Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Basis for the sermon today is, as you know, the gospel reading of the Good Samaritan. Now, the Good Samaritan story has been well known. I'm sure everybody knows it pretty much by heart. And the Good Samaritan story can also be one of those stories that you'd really like to repeat over and over again and learn from. Unfortunately, we can also take that story that Jesus gave to us and turn it into sort of another law for us to do. Kind of make it a moral story, where we better go out and we better be that good Samaritan. We better find people and we better get to it and we better do this and we better make sure that we're being merciful all the time. Now, that's not exactly how that story was meant to be used. We should be good Samaritans. Yes, Jesus says, go and do likewise. But we shouldn't have the mindset of the lawyer, where we are to be looking at the Good Samaritan story in order for us to sort of put another notch in our pistol, another good mark on our good deeds that we can show before the Lord God himself. Because Jesus even warns us about this in a couple of places. In the Gospel of John, he tells us this: you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And that's what we sometimes do with the Bible. We turn it into a book of instructions. You've heard that old phrase, the Bible stands for basic instruction before leaving earth. It's not really meant to be that. It's not our instruction book. It's not meant to be, here's how we do life in order to get heaven. That's not how it works. Because the scriptures are about Christ himself, about Jesus and what he's done for us. And then we also hear in Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, I bear witness that they, he's talking about the Jews here, have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they do not submit to God's righteousness. What Paul's saying is, my fellow Jews are all intent on making sure that they do the law the right way so that they can inherit eternal life. Because that was the question that this lawyer asked, in essence. What, Lord, do I have to do in order to maintain my ability to get into eternal life? And the lawyer, so he comes to Jesus with this question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And as we hear, it was this lawyer wanted to really trick Jesus into saying something wrong that he could go back to his fellow lawyers and Pharisees and everyone else and say, Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know the law. Well, Jesus said, okay, you want to know? Tell me, you're the lawyer, what is written in the law? That's a pretty smart thing to say, because who actually wrote the law? Jesus. It's his law. The Old Testament is his words. They're not Moses' words. And so the lawyer answers according to the law that he knows. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He even adds, with all your mind. And then he says, and your neighbor as yourself. He gets those from two places in the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. He's searched the law, he knows the law, and he's recited the law back. And Jesus says, what you've said is correct. Go do this, and you'll live. And so the lawyer thinks, okay, he said the right things, I have no problem with that. And so then the lawyer, as it says, in order to justify himself, he wants to make sure he looks right according to the law, asks, well, who's my neighbor? Well, there's the problem right there. Because he wants to justify himself. He wants to make himself look right before God according to the law. And that's something that the law was never intended to do. The law was not given to us to make us look good before God. In fact, the law does exactly the opposite. The law was given in order to show us that we are sinners and that we cannot live according to God's word because we are incapable of doing that. We are so incapable of doing it that when Paul writes to the Romans, he tells them, this is how we are like. Get this into your heads, people. Look what the law in the Old Testament says. He says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. Who does seek for God? No one, includes us. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Paul goes on to say, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's us. It hurts. We don't like it. But that's who we are. And when we stand up before God's law, we fail totally and miserably. And then Paul goes on to say, we now know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. That's us. So that every mouth may be stopped. God is in essence saying, when you read the law, I'm making sure that you shut up about it and about yourself. You have no standing before me when it comes to the law. So be quiet and listen. You're sinners. Confess it, believe it, accept it. Because only then are we open to the mercy of God. The whole world will be held accountable to God, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. And that was the problem with this lawyer. He thought he could be justified by the law. And Jesus tells him a story instead. Jesus isn't coming out right away to hit him over the head with it. But instead, he tells him the story of this Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? He wants to know so he can tick off, I've done this for this person, that person, because I've taken care of my neighbor. He wants to define neighbor so he can be good in that law. But Jesus won't accept that thinking. So he tells them the story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. So there's a man going from Jerusalem down to Jericho on a winding road that still exists as far as I understand, and it's downhill, and it's a road that was always notorious for being a place of robbers hiding out to seek whoever they could find who was alone on the road. They beat him. They stripped him. There's no way to identify who this man is. And Jesus even tells in the story, it's a certain man. It's just anyone. So he's sitting there or lying there, dying because of this attack. And the first person that comes upon him, Jesus says, now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A priest, a man of God, a man who knew the law, a man who lived by the law. He was unable to go over there and help him. There's been lots of stories and explanations given why the priest passed by. Well, he's in his time of purification. He cannot go and touch what he might be a dead body, and he's afraid of this or afraid of that, and so he passes by. But when it boils right down to it, this is a man of the law. And what Jesus is telling us is the law can do nothing for that man over there because the law prevents us from being merciful. Because the law only shows us our sinfulness. And the same thing with a Levite, another person of the law. He comes by, he sees the man there, and he passes by on the other side. I am not going to get involved because the law doesn't permit me to do this. I cannot go over there. He's He's injured. He might be dead, and if I touch him, I'm unclean. The law, as Jesus is saying, is impossible to show mercy for anyone. But the Samaritan, he says, a Samaritan, the enemies of the Jewish people. You've heard me say this before, kind of liken the Samaritans to those miscreants up to the north. They are the ones who went and didn't believe in the true place of worship. They were the place where King Ahab and Jezebel are. But they were more than just that. You have to understand that the Jews like them about as much as Black Lives Matter loves the police, about as much as the Russians like the Germans in World War II. They were at each other's throats. They didn't care about one another, and if that's who is coming to be near me, they're going to walk away. They were so angry, and they were enemies of one another. And Jesus picks a Samaritan to tell to this Jewish person this story. The Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and he saw him, just like the others. But he had compassion. He had compassion. And he goes to the person lying in the floor, lying on the road. You see, the Samaritan isn't bound by the law. He's not bound by the law of the temple and the ceremonial laws and the cleanliness laws. And that's what Jesus is getting across to this lawyer. Now, without the law being your guide about who is your neighbor, he can go to that man. He can show compassion because his body, his guts actually say, I've got to do something. I see this man and injured, and I have to do something. So he goes to him. He binds up his wounds. He pours oil on to relieve the pain. He gives him clothing. He puts him on his donkey. He feeds him. He takes him to an inn, and he has the innkeeper there care for him. Well, who is this good Samaritan that Jesus is talking about? When it comes down to it, the Samaritan is really Jesus himself. And it makes perfect sense because Jesus is also the one who is hated by the Jews, who is hated by the world because he is God incarnate, come to the earth. And because the world hates him, he shows love instead for us, despite the fact that the world hates him. Jesus is the one who shows mercy on all of us. Jesus is now, in a sense, putting a mask of being a Samaritan to show that what he is doing, who he is, and why he came to this world. He came to find us because we are the man that's sitting and lying on the side of the road, beaten and bruised by the world, by sin, by Satan itself, and by the sins of others. We're the ones that have been beaten up because of what this world does to us and because of our own sinfulness. And there we are lying naked on the ground. We are the ones who are in need of mercy. And Jesus is come into this world to do just that, to show us that he is the merciful Samaritan, the good Samaritan for us. He picks us up. He takes us to the inn. And the inn here can represent the church because that's where we are kept safe and secure and healed from the world's troubles. And the innkeeper can be like the pastor of the church who will care for you in spiritual needs, in bodily needs, in the needs of this world when you are having troubles, when you need mercy, when you have the world caving in on you. And those denarii that Jesus gives to the innkeeper, 2 denarii, and I'll pay you back later. The denarii can represent the word and the sacrament that heal us and give us strength and courage to go on, that give us the promise of forgiveness, of life eternal in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. You see, that's what Jesus came into this world to be. Our good Samaritan, to raise us up, to pick us up, to be our Savior, and to lead us and give us life again, and to care for us. And he tells the innkeeper, whatever else there is, I'll pay you back when I return. And that's the promise of Jesus too, to return to us and to be our eternal Lord as he raises us up from death and takes us into his eternal kingdom with him. Jesus also can be represented as the man on the street, lying on the road. Because what Jesus came to do is take our place. The world came into him, and they beat him up. They stripped him naked, and they left him hanging on a cross to die. And he did that for you and for me, so that our sins might be forgiven, that we might know that God does love us and has mercy on us and cares for us. Because that's who our Lord Jesus is. Now, after he told the story, Jesus said to the lawyer, which of these three was neighbor to the man who was injured? And the lawyer almost had to say, almost even with gritted teeth, because I'm sure he couldn't say the word the Samaritan, he said the one who showed him mercy. What Jesus is telling him and us is that we don't need to look and define who neighbor is. Neighbor is anyone who needs mercy. We don't have to look and define the law in order to make sure that I can do this or I can't do this. Jesus came to show us what mercy is all about. He's the good Samaritan who gave up his life, who came and rescued us and made us his own, took us into his inn, the church, and protects us here until life eternal. The new command that Jesus gives to us is to love one another as he loved us. Show mercy. That's what God came to do. Show mercy to each and every one of us, his people, so that we might live with him eternally and be merciful as he is merciful to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.